As you know, on the show, I like to bring to all you lovely listeners interesting people. People from all sorts of works of life, walks of life even, diverse. And I do my best to bring you a nice, interesting dichotomy. Now, on the show recently, you may have noticed we've been doing lots of pinhole photography. And I've been working with Mr. Babington, who is a photographer. And it just so happens another photographer who I've been in contact with through Twitter lives in jolly old Petworth, my old stomping ground when I was 18. So when an opportunity came up to meet with her, I thought that would be great. I can also have a little gander at Petworth itself. Her name is Linda Westmore. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Bobsy.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. At Petworth. How long have you been living in Petworth?
Only 2 years.
Are you a Sussex person?
No, I originally come from Kingston. I left in about 87, moved to Guildford.
Kingston, that's a very sort of posh place, isn't it? I mean, it's got a college. Is it not posh? You're shaking your head.
I wouldn't call it posh, yes.
I was thinking it's south of the river and it's got the Thames and it's all... Or am I thinking of a different Kingston?
No, you're thinking of the right Kingston, but yes, it's very nice, but...
Not now.
I felt like I was going to be selling teddies out of my window because I was getting closer and closer to the centre, so I thought it was time to go, so off I went to Guildford.
And Guildford, now Guildford, another old historic town,
yes.
With a beautiful high street up there and a castle on the top. And Petworth is not quite like that, but it's got a big sort of country house, Petworth House, which you tell me you've been to the other day.
I did. I took my ancient neighbour, well, he took me, who used to be one of the show around people there. And yeah, it was good. Yes.
That's not what you said earlier.
You
lied to me. You said you weren't very impressed.
I was not. Okay, well, like, well, wasn't there? There might be some people out there who want to go to Petworth House, think it's that going to be absolutely fab. The gallery is amazing, and I have got Turners and Grindon Gibbons and Van Dyck's, you know, but no, it was the parkland is fabulous, yeah. And but the house was it was a bit of a disappointment, yeah.
I mean, because when I lived here, it was on the doorstep. I lived in Lombard Street, which is one of the old cobbled streets here, and the house is about, I suppose, 500 feet or yards or whatever it might be from there. And in the 2.5 years that I lived in Petworth, never went there once. So it took about 10 years after that before I actually got to see Petworth, which is one of those things when it's on your doorstep, you very often don't do these things. But when I went, we were pleased because we actually bluffed our way in for free because we had a microphone. Do that quite a lot on this show.
I must remember to take a microphone next time I go to a house.
Sorry, it's the media. Yeah. Let us in, please. We're doing a feature of old country houses. Oh, yes, do come in. Anyway, Linda, now I know you're a photographer, keen photographer, and we've been chatting before we started recording, and let's just make sure it is recording. It is recording. About how the industry has changed over the last X many years, because I know that Mr. Babington and I have had many conversations about how, you know, when he started with 35mm and now it's digital, and the fact that anybody can pick up a camera and they think they're a photographer, and you've found the same sort of thing.
Well, I have, but I mean, in one way it's good, but everybody has a camera now. They've got one in your phone and most people have got another one. And I suppose what's happened, the mystique has gone. You don't have to think about your exposures anymore, or your f-stops, or your, I think I've just said that, but you don't have to think about things like that. You just point and shoot, and the results are good, you know. You've got the computers doing it for you. So a lot of us are becoming redundant. Yes.
And so do you think the clients mind so much that they can now either do it themselves or pay people perhaps less experienced to take pictures for what they're using it for?
Yes, I do. I mean, it sounds like sort of sour grapes, and I don't quite mean it. I mean, the industry's marched on, things have changed, we just have to accept that. But yes, we were discussing earlier, but I think the standard has slipped, but I don't think really anybody cares that you, if they can get something, they'd have to pay you 150 quid for an hour or whatever, and they have to pay somebody who works in accounts who's a keen photographer and can fiddle about with it on a Photoshop, well, that's what they're going to do. So,
yes.
And these were the sort of maybe boring jobs, but they were the bread and butter,
yes,
you know, for a lot
yes.
of us, yeah.
I mean, like me and my video testimonials, which fortunately they haven't triggered, worked out, and I should keep this very quiet, that they could actually probably do it for them for a fraction of the cost. But it is time, though, isn't it? I mean, if you've got somebody who's got an interest in photography and they've got the time to sit there on Photoshop and sort of tweak them and make them better than how they originally shot them, then that's all very well and good. But my experience is people are so, particularly in the corporate world, so pressured these days. They haven't got the time. They do kind of want to outsource it because they can't be fagged to do it themselves. Have you not found that so much with your area?
Well, I mean, I found just recently that I'm not going to say what I charge per hour, but you know, I found that people are going in for £45, and not only that, again, going back to the secretary or somebody in a council, I'm just being flip about that, but there are lots of people, everybody has a camera, and you know, and a lot of people are very expert, far more than I am, with Photoshop, who can fiddle about with it and make it look okay. It's acceptable to the people who don't want to pay X amount of pounds for you to come in and shoot what you think is a really good picture. And it'll do. Higher end stuff, maybe it's a different story. But for generally, you know, your bread and butter. For me, my bread and butter stuff has sort of disappeared.
Yes.
And
it's funny though, because you wouldn't expect at a wedding to get somebody to photo. If you've got the special day of your life, and you wouldn't really expect Uncle Fred or the bloke across the road just to come over and take snaps with his little Olympus cheap £100 camera, would you?
Well, I don't do weddings.
No. I'm saying, in the corporate world, and yet they're quite happy to just go, well, we want it cheap.
But the thing is, the kind of stuff that I'm talking about would be, again, a lot of might be a portrait shot or whatever, and that would probably do. I mean, they don't get, it's not a marriage situation. It's not like a wedding ceremony where it happens once in a lifetime, we hope. But it's something they're doing every week.
So they just want some pictures, stick on the website, and then next month they might have another set, or it's a picture of people who won a prize for something.
It sounds like we're all moaning.
No, well, I just wanted to sort of get, this is where the industry is now. And I think that but it's interesting because this whole idea of people losing out is happening across the whole digital world. And whilst everybody is winning in lots of ways because things are much easier and cheaper and quicker. There's a lot of things, like with the movies that are being, and music industry, where things are being copied, and the digital world has got some great pluses, but it also has some massive minuses for a lot of people. But so that's where we are now. I want to find out how you got into photography back in the days when all these sort of worries were not around.
Okay, I used to work with a couple of reporters and filing stories to people like, which I think is gone now, she's Thames TV and Nationwide, which I know is gone a long time ago, and various newspapers. And I was just very lucky. We'd filed a whole load of stories over to Nationwide that day, and one of the editors said, look, we can't cover so-and-so. We'd like to, we can't cover it. These are all soft stories, by the way.
And what do you class as a soft story?
Something that's not news current. I mean, it's a fun story, or somebody who's got a windmill in their garden, or, in the middle of London, or something like that. So one of the reporters said, Linda will do that. I'm sort of screaming at her, going, you've got to be joking, Nick, forget it. I can't do it. I'm just an amateur photographer. But anyway, cutting a long story short, that's what I did.
And that they would send you out on a professional engagement. So that must have been quite nerve-wracking the first few times.
I had a Praktika with a 50mm lens. And I remember one story we did at a little airport just outside London, which I can't remember the name of. But they were taking people up who were blind and deaf up in an aircraft. The pilots had given over their time and to do this. And I'm sort of standing on this wing with a 50mm lens, before they took off, trying to get a shot, thinking, oh, it's about time I got some more equipment, But it was frightening, but it was really exciting as well. And I remember taking my stuff into into the BBC room and met one of the photographers there who was a staffer. I was only a freelance. So he said, "Oh, when did you go to the Royal College?" I thought, "What?" I sort of quickly changed the subject and disappeared out of the room because I was self-taught, you know, and never been to art school or anything like it. So yeah.
So these were television programmes using stills within.
Yes, them. Back in those days, ENG, there was a problem with the with news crew off the union, in actual fact, and they had to send out a lighting man, a sound man, if I remember right. Now, I think even a production staff, and it was they simply couldn't afford to do it. So they would take a still photograph and put it on a rostrum camera and move around and make it look like it was actually moving. So so that's where the still cameras came in. But it's all gone now, but
How interesting. So after that, you were just doing amateur photography and you were working at the paper, and so now you were covering actual stories and you were a professional photographer.
Yeah, that's right. Suddenly a leap from being an amateur to a professional, if you like. Yeah, and getting paid, you know, loads of money. It was fantastic, yeah.
So you did mention that you had the opportunity to go and do some war coverage.
I did. You're mean mentioning this, because I'm going to have to say why I couldn't do it. Yeah, no, I was working at the Sunday Express by this time, and this is when the first Iraq war broke out. And our then editor, Robin, I can't remember his surname, wanted myself to go, and Rowena, who was our news editor. And it was a really exciting prospect. This is really embarrassing. So he said, "I want you to, you know, to be there, go straight away, you know, basically."
And had you ever done anything like that before?
Not done more photography, but I've been a photographer now for a little bit. But
I mean, you know, it was quite. Nothing. You weren't put off by the fact that it was a war zone
really
or anything.
I'm really excited by this, but the thing is, folks, I'm absolutely terrified of flying. And as I had to go immediately, I couldn't go by car or boat or anything. So I had to sort of walk into the editor's office, who was saying, you know, "We've sorted it all out. When you go, I can't go. I can't get on an aeroplane. I'm really, I was so embarrassing." And
how did they take it?
We were really sympathetic, actually. And I remember, you know, the news editor, Rowena, which I think she works in America now, putting her arm around going, "Oh, you'll be with me. It will be all right." And anybody out there who's scared of flying will know what I mean. It doesn't matter, you know, you're scared of flying. And luckily, I'm a lot better now. But, yeah, massive opportunity missed.
So is that something that you regret now for a long time?
Absolutely, massively, because it changed the course of my life yet again,
Yes, you could have been in a white suit, couldn't you? Like, what's his name, who does the news reporting, whose name now escapes me?
If I'd been able to do that, I would have carried on doing it. Exciting.
Yeah, well, it would, yeah, golly. Mm-hmm. So being shot at or what have you, although it does seem that the press was a lot more respected back then. I mean, now you're getting journalists kidnapped and photographers killed and all that kind of stuff goes on in these blooming wars. Would you want to do it now if you could?
Well, I think in actual fact, I think it's kind of safer now because you do get embedded into an army or whatever, and you're sent with everybody else covering the same old. I think more back then. I mean, that still existed back then, but I think, in the old days, if you like, you could take yourself off and shoot pictures and do your thing. Oh, yeah. You may have more chance of getting shot at, probably, but I guess the adrenaline and the excitement would have taken care of that. I don't know. But I think nowadays, yes, you are. It's dangerous, I guess. I haven't been, so I don't know. But from what I hear and from my experience with other photographers, they are embedded into, and they're looked after. But the problem with that, you get the same pretty much as everybody else, picture-wise.